That is going to be the topic of tonight's show, and I want to welcome everyone, of course, to Shadows in the Dark here. Been a while since we broadcasted, gosh, I guess almost a month. You know, as everyone knows, if you've been following us, we've kind of been on our little hiatus, restructuring everything, trying to adjust to the trying times. The economy's in the tank, but it's coming back. Of course, you know, for us, the publication industry's changing, and of course, the broadcast industry's changing. That's why we do an internet radio show. But, you know, I thought tonight might be a fun night to just kind of open up the lines and just talk about what we believe in. We talk a lot about community here, and I think this is the opportunity for us to kind of expand on that. You know, what does our listeners believe in? What do they believe in? And if you're wondering, we did have another show scheduled for tonight. Our guest lives up north. If you're staying in tune with the weather news, well, they got about, I think it was somewhere around 3 feet of snow, 3.5 feet of snow where she was. The power's out. They're not expecting it to be back Tuesday. And we'd planned for this show in about another week or so. But in speaking with her, then what we done is just, I was just looking there at the chat room. Sorry. Some are saying they're not hearing us, but I think they're getting it situated. But So she rescheduled to another date, actually this Thursday, and what we're going to do is we just put this show in place. We're going to open up the lines. They're going to be open up all night long, and well, not all night, for the next 2 hours. We won't say we're going to be on all night long. And of course, we've got a co-host tonight, which is my brother Shane. He's on the line with us. Shane, how are you?
Good, very well.
All right, well, he's going to join in with us as we talk about what we believe in tonight. And I see the chat room starting to fill up, so glad to see everybody. Long time no see or no hear, I guess, in everybody's case. But like I said, we're going to have the lines open all night tonight, and you are more than welcome to call in. And quite honestly, you are more than welcome to stay on with us as long as you want. We're not going to limit anybody to 2 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever the case may be. Now, we can only have so many people on the line, and a lot of that is due to just keeping the confusion down. So we will kind of just, you know, keep that in mind. I mean, if we get like 5 or 6 people on, we may, you know, one of us may have to jump off to make room so everybody's not talking over each other. Excuse me. But like I said, we are going to keep them open. And if you want to call in, that number is 877-876-7797. Now, we're not starting right yet. We'll start right after our first little break, which we'll do here in just a couple minutes. But again, if you want to write the number down, it's 877-876-7797. So, and for those who are just joining us, like I said, our tonight's topic is I Believe, and everyone... Excuse me. I see what happens when you're away for a month. You barely even talk. Tonight's topic is I Believe, and everyone is the guest. If you want to call in, you get to hang out with us for as long as you really want to, and we're going to talk about what you believe in. You know, I think this is going to be a fun show. Who knows? You know, the possibilities here are pretty much endless because you can talk about anything you want to. You know, what do you believe in terms of religion, politics, the paranormal, the spirituality, whatever the case may be. There's no limits here. Everyone knows how we do our show here. We like to talk about anything and everything. If you want to call in and talk about what your beliefs are in terms of music, that is fine, and which I am sure we're going to get into tonight. And if we get on a topic that you have something you really feel you'd like to say, well, simply call 877-876-7797. Now, also, later on, during the first break of the show, we kind of have a special, I guess, a world premiere, if you want to call it that, of a song. And I'm just gonna leave it at that. We really won't say anything else about the song. We'll play it. It will be mixed in with all the other songs, but I am sure you will pick it out. And then we'll talk a little bit about the song once we come back from that break. But it's going to be a fun show. We're going to have a good time tonight. It is great to be back on, and it is nice to see everybody who is jumping in the chat room. Thank you so much. And like I said, it's an open lines night. You know, I'll be honest, we rarely have any success with open line nights. But, hey, we'll see how it goes. You know, we keep trying. That's one thing we do here is we just never give up. So let's go ahead and take our quick little break. We'll come back. We'll start right into the show. Of course, Shane will be, he's here with us as well. And maybe some of you out there listening, you'll be with us on air as well. So back in a moment. Welcome back, everyone. Like I said, tonight's show is called I Believe, and that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. What do you believe in? We're encouraging you, of course, to call in. That number is 877-876-7797. Of course, joining me tonight is my brother, Shane. He's here with us. Shane, still there, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, wonderful. And of course, like I said, tonight we're kind of under a new setup, so I might be messing with some of our controls and whatnot, just to make sure that things are going smooth. Hopefully everybody can hear us loud and clear out there, and I think I may have Shane's levels up just a little too much, and which we'll fix that. But I tell you what, I guess I'll start off. And again, if you're out there listening and you want to call in, comment on what we're talking about or add or take us in another direction, again, you're more than welcome to. That is what tonight's show is about. We talk about community, and that's why I wanted to have this show, to just open it up to everybody. Doesn't matter what you want to talk about, you know, let's talk about it. But I guess, you know, like I said, I can start off. Shane, or do you want to start off?
Oh, I'd rather you start. It is your show.
No, it's everybody's show. That's the point.
Oh, well, then I'll start.
All right. Well, I'll let you start. That'll let me adjust your levels, too. So go ahead.
All right. Well, I guess in the intro, you're talking about music. I guess we can talk about what I believe about music.
All right.
Well, in a lot of ways, I guess I believe... music is like a language, I guess, like a really pure language that is somewhere between, speaking with your mind and speaking with your heart, I guess. That'd be what I believe about it.
Now, I think, you know, this past weekend, you know, I got to come down there, and me and you sat down and played guitar together, which we haven't done in, what, like, I don't know, 8 years, seven, 8 years, something like that.
Yeah.
And we were, you know, kind of talking, and you had said something like, you know, music never dies. It seems to be everywhere. It's been around for thousands of years. It plays a huge part in everybody's life.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, there was a couple months ago, I got to really kind of thinking about, you know, what was the purpose. I like to think about what the purpose of things are. And so I was trying to think, like, what's the purpose of music? Like, it's been around for a long time, because I was reading some stories from indigenous tribes and whatever, and they all seemed to value, they all had a story for when, you know, they discovered music. They called it song, or when they discovered song. They didn't, so I was like, wow, it's really important to, like, even before civilization, it was a really important thing. And so I started thinking about it. I was like, well, what's it about? You know, why was it so important? What was its purpose? And so, I mean, part of it, I think, is because it was, it really, like, joined everybody together for that moment. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. if everybody sang the song together, something happened. You know, like, it kind of, like, got rid of division for a while, and everybody sang the song, you know? And also, it seems to me that they put a lot of the things they want to remember in the song. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, if there was some teaching or something, like they'd learned something, then they would put it in the song so that the song became a ceremony and it would be something that they would remember. It was a way to remember things, you know, back before books and whatnot.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's it. I mean, you know, passed down, you know, from generation to generation over thousands of years. And even, you know, even the simplest forms of music. You know, yeah. when we're talking music, yeah, we're not just, you know, talking Van Halen or Led Zeppelin or, you know, people like that. You know, you even got the simplest forms of just, you know, even a drum circle or just beating yeah. of sticks, you know, a rhythm. You know, all music is the foundation of music is a rhythm.
Yeah, yeah. And that somehow rhythm and cycles and how somehow that's like a reflection of creation, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you know, someone's making a you know, an interesting conversation in the chat room saying, you know, music kind of separates the humans from the critters. you know, I mean, somewhat, but you know, even animals have music. You know, we hear the birds sing. You know, certain animals have their own songs.
Well, yeah, and like going back to the ancient people, music was actually inspired by the animals. I mean, that's what they say, that they learned some of their greatest lessons, you know, and in their stories, that's what they say, they learned these things from the animals by listening to the songbirds and, you know, paying attention to them, you know?
Right, sorry, someone... Captain Bugface said, praying mantises are known to groove on occasion.
that yeah. brings up an interesting story, huh?
Well, yeah, you know, I guess that in a way it can show that appreciation of music, not just on the human level, but the animal level as well. And which, you know, Captain Bugface is referring to a story that actually happened to me and you.
Yeah.
About around the last that we actually played music together. You know, I'll let you share the story because I think I've told it on here plenty of times because it's one that has stuck with me. For ever since it's happened, I don't think it will ever leave me. So I'll let you tell it.
Yeah, well, like I said, with that, I think, I mean, that story or that moment, you know, or that evening, I'll never forget it. It was like, I don't know. It was. Well, I wish I could find the word for it. Unforgettable would be one thing. And yeah, we're just in there. Yeah, we played every night. Right, back when we lived together, me, you, and Brandon, we played music every night, pretty much, right? And I remember us sitting in the living room, playing music, and we always left the door open a lot. And so it must have been like springtime, because I remember the door was open.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we're sitting there playing, and this praying mantis just kind of like just walks into our house, you know, our apartment, and I'm like, whoa, you know, this doesn't happen every day. Why is a praying mantis, you know, in my mind, why is this praying mantis like walking into our living room?
Right.
So then it keeps getting closer and closer. And I remember it tried to walk up my leg, and I got kind of scared, and I like shoot it off. And so then it went and tried to walk up your leg. You kind of did the same thing, like, whoa, but we kept playing. Uh-huh. Which, you know, maybe music never dies. I don't know. We kept going for some reason.
Yeah, and I think we were just kind of jamming. It wasn't a specific song.
Yeah, no, we were just jamming, we were just making music, you know,
mm-hmm.
And then I was like, I remember after you shoot it off, I was like, man, if that thing comes back over here, I'm just going to see what it does. I'm going to try to, like, just sit there and keep playing and see what happens. And so I did, and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't easy, because, I mean, I don't know, I was trying to play music, and there's a praying mantis walking up my leg, so there it goes, it walks up my leg, up my knee, you know, walks up onto the neck of the guitar, out to that headstock of the guitar, if any of you guys are guitar players or ladies out there, it's, you know, where the tuners are at, and it just sits there on the headstock of a guitar and starts like dancing, didn't it? It just started like moving left and right, like with the beat, with the rhythm.
You know? It was very much in rhythm.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, I was like, wow. I was amazed. It was like a mini miracle to me. You know, this thing was happening that I've never seen before. I mean, I was kind of flabbergasted, I guess is the word. I was a little in awe. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah. It was amazing. I mean, you know, to watch it sit there on the guitar, you know, to even shoo it off a couple times, you know, like, hey, you know, go on. And it was just like, you know, no, I want to jam. I want to enjoy some music. I want to groove a little bit. And, you know, it really was bobbing with the rhythm back and forth, kind of left and right. And I remember, you know, we kept looking at each other, kind of giggling as we were just playing, just in amazement, you know, at this that was taking place right in front of us.
Yeah. I'll never forget that. And then it was not too long ago I spoke with you, because I've been, you know, like I said, I try to figure out the purpose of things. So then that one day I was sitting there, and that always kind of puzzled me, you know. Mm-hmm. Why would something like that happen, you know, other than the fact that it was completely awesome, you know.
Right.
And then you said the greatest thing. Like, you, I was like, why? I don't know if you remember this conversation. It wasn't that long ago. It was almost like a month ago or something. And I was like, why does something like that happen? Like, what would be the purpose of it? Like, what would be the lesson in that? Like, what does the praying mantis, you know, represent or whatever? And you said, like, the perfect thing. You're like, well, that's like patience, you know? And then I thought that like fit perfectly with things that were going on in my life. You're like, and it really helped me out with things, you know. It's like, yeah, you know, like don't try to rush things. And,
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, but, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it was really a moment that you know, stuck with us both. And, you know, I wish more would have been there to experience it, because it was amazing. And, you know, that leaves me to, you know, kind of say, you know, something I believe in is that, you know, at times in our life, we, and I want to try to word this the best I can, excuse me, but, you know, times in our lives, we experience moments of purity, where we get insight onto to what, you know, what it is really like to be who we are, why we're here.
Yeah.
Kind of things. And to me, you know, you can, and these, you know, I think that we can learn stuff from those moments of purity. And that, to me, that's one of those is, you know, that praying mantis dancing on the guitar. You know, when I look back at that, I imagine, you know, some of the things that has happened over my life that I consider those kind of moments of purity. Not saying that I'm pure, but saying that, you know, we sometimes, somehow or another, we get a glimpse into something much better. And, you know, you tie that in with the praying mantis and other experiences, you know, and then you kind of mesh them all together, like we were talking, you know, before about, you know, making it rain, the praying mantis dancing. And then saying, you know, imagine, you know, combining all this stuff together. You're sitting there playing your guitar. The praying mantis is dancing with you. The birds are on the windowsill chirping along with the song, which we also had happen at the same place around the same time. And, you know, you've got your garden growing outside and you're just jamming away. And all of a sudden you realize, hey, you know, we need a little bit of rain. Let's make, you know, we need some rain, and it starts raining. Okay, that's enough. And then it stops. And you continue jamming. And the praying mantis continues to dance. He gets his fill. He goes on. The birds continue to chirp. I mean, well, really, what would it be like, you know, if that was something we could look forward to? If that was the human soul, you know, in surrounded by purity, surrounded by, you know, what it's supposed to be like.
Yeah. And, I mean, well, that a lot of that, like you just said, is the whole reason, if I want to know about song, I would like try to find stories of indigenous people and what they thought about song. Because in some ways, I think they were lived a much more pure, harmonious life, you know?
Right.
With much less complication, much less stress, much less, you know, much less comfort. But that was part of the deal, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right, and someone saying, you know, give X, Y in the chat room saying, you know, gives meaning to one with creation, and that's exactly it. That to sum up what I was trying to say, that's exactly it. That there's those times that we get those where we really get to experience that oneness of everything.
Yeah,
and for me, it's, you know, when you take all those and you add them together, it's like, wow, what would that really be like? That would just be amazing to experience every day like that and not have to worry about the 9-to-5 or who you owe, you know, the bills to, or what addictions you have, whatever the case may be.
Yeah. And I mean, that's like, and I think like that is joy. Like, you remember the joy that came with that moment?
Oh, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And the thing that gets me is somehow we could do that every moment, but it just is lost somehow, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's got over, you know, since the beginning of man, or mankind, humankind, you know, whatever you want to call it to be politically correct, then, you know, I think it's been diluted, or we've been diluted to that that connection with everything else, that oneness.
That's a good one.
We forgot about it.
Yeah.
Let me. I'm going to put out there in the chat room and out there as well. Again, if you want to add to the conversation, you want to talk about something else, you're more than welcome to call in. That is really what tonight's show is about. What do you believe in? Of course, me and Shane, we're going to continue talking more about what we believe in, but we want to hear from others because that's really what's important. You know, we talk about the show being a community, and we're really opening up the show to the community tonight to get on here, talk about what you believe. You're the guest. That's pretty much what it comes down to. You are the guest. And, you know, all we ask is that if you do call in, and that number is 877-876-7797, you're not going to be judged. You're not going to be say, hey, you know what, what you believe in is just insane. We're not going to say that. We've never done that on the show. We're not going to do it to you. All we ask is that you respect our beliefs and the others who also call in. Obviously, we live in a world of such individuality for the most part, that's going to happen. People are not going to believe in what you believe in. So just respect that and respect the show itself if you do call in. So, you know, please, no prank calls. you know, if somebody's out there and just itching to, you know, please. But again, that number is 877-876-7797. I'm going to type it in the chat room as well. And let me just get that in there. Oops. I think I typed it in. There we go. But like I said, you know, we really want to have a lot of fun tonight, talk about what everybody believes in, and, you know, because that's really, that's what we deal with here on the show on a regular basis. I mean, we're talking about music one night, UFOs the next, Bigfoot, then we're talking about spirituality, then we're talking to psychic and mediums, and this is what it really all boils down to is what do you believe in? And, you know, there's so much going on out there, that, you know, especially in the world today. There's so much that's happened in the past. There's so much speculation to what's going to happen in the future. What do you believe in? What do you believe is going to happen? You know, one of the other things, you know, 2012, Shane, what about you? What do you think about December the 21st, 2012?
Yeah, well, you know, I did some studying about it, and it's hard to say. I guess that's an equinox, I think. Like, is that the longest night of the year? I believe in 2012.
Yeah, it's the. I'm not sure if it's the longest night of the year, but it is during the equinox and the winter solstice, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think so. If that is, yeah. So I believe that might be a reason that date was picked because it is the longest night of the year. I believe the winter solstice may be the longest night of the year. Now, all this stuff I'm kind of sure about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying I'm authority on it by no means. But I did do some. There's a guy, his name is Wandering Wolf. He's with the Mayan Council of Elders, which they haven't spoken in a long time. And he would, I kind of listened to some stuff he said, and it kind of matched with what I would think would be the truth. And what he says is, like, their view of it, the Mayans' view of it, is completely cycle-based. They don't
right.
claim the end of the world or anything. He says what they say is it's just a galactic year is what it is. And he said that's what their calendar's based on, cycles. It's based on, you know, they used to divide the year into 13 months, I believe, and so which is much more symmetrical than we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you take the days in a year and divide them, then you can divide them into 13, the easiest, I believe. And he said it's just a galactic year, but something happens and then at that point, and that's what maybe they pick the starting point of the year at that point, because there's maybe some type of, what did he say? He didn't really explain it very well. He just said the sun will go out for about 72 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So that's their take on it. But he said the sun comes back after 72 hours. He said he just hopes people don't freak out. You know, people die from being afraid. But he said what the Mayans do is they light their fire for 72 hours, and then when it's over, it's over. And a new galactic year has started. That was pretty much his take on it. And that's about the best information I've heard on it.
Yeah.
But he also said that he didn't know if it was December 12th. He said they have a range of like 20 years that it could happen in. And he didn't say December 12th, or December 21st, excuse me, mm-hmm. 2012 was the day. He said it could be like 10 years after that or 10 years before that. And he said it's just a broad range area. So that's about the best information I've heard on it, I think.
Yeah, you know, and I tend to, go in that direction of it being, because I've heard so much about it being based on cycles. and we're in the fifth cycle, and we're coming to the end of the fifth cycle, and then basically what happens is just like us going back from going from December 31st to January the 1st. You start back at the beginning of the cycle. And,
right.
You know, and that's the way I've always understood it. Is it going to come and be another Y2K thing where everybody freaks out and then nothing happens at all? Or will there be some kind of spiritual moment with it? You know, I don't know. Because, there are some, galactic, things that are supposed to happen during this as well, like all the planets lining up, things like that. And who knows what that will do?
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing that you know, for me, I've always looked at in terms of what I believe. I believe in creation. And the reason that I really, really believe in it is when you look around you, everything seems to work together, except for some reason, with the exception of humans, that seem to work against everything. But for the most part, everything works together. There are reasons, let's just take, plant cycles, more or less, with the bees. A plant grows it, and the bees go collect the pollen, which also transfers it to other plants so they can create seeds and continue on, and the bees use it for food, and so they can continue. So there's a harmonious coexistence there that I think you see in everything. And even us, we rely on the trees for oxygen, and they rely on us for, is it carbon dioxide is what we exhale, is that it? One of those carbon oxide things, but but that's there's such a coexistence of everything, and you see how one really needs the other in order to be here. And to me, it says, how can that be an accident? How can that be something that just poof came out of nothing and just worked perfectly?
Another part is just like you're saying, there's a cycle of life and death,
mm-hmm.
and really something that happens in civilization is the fear of death. If people understood death as a part of the cycle and just something that happens, and then maybe the cycle would be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's like the Mayans, they like the Wandering Wolf he would say that the Mayans are the keepers of time. Like, they just understand the cycles of time. They don't like try to delve into the other part, but there's some people that say a long time ago they sent their brothers north, which became the Hopi, and that the Hopi have a little different take on it. They look more at the like renewal and rebirth part of it, where like there's going to be like a cleansing of the earth kind of thing. And you know what? And I got to thinking about that. And then I was talking to somebody about Hurricane Hugo here in Charleston, which is where I'm at. And somebody was telling me the story about Hugo, and he's like, man, it was awful. He's like, it flooded the streets, you know, knocked down houses. And I was like, well, what was it like afterwards? He goes, it was nice. He's like, we weren't distracted. We got to spend time with our family. All we really did was like, you know, we were just with each other for a little while. We didn't have to go somewhere. We couldn't go somewhere. He's right. Like, we had to look for food and just like be together, you know. He's like, and it was really kind of nice. We didn't have any power, but he said we'd like make a fire and we just tried to survive. But in some way, it was a very bonding experience.
Yeah. Now, and I think I believe we have Aztec Knight on the phone with us. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I thought
you.
Huh?
You can call me Tina.
Okay, Tina. How are you, Tina? It's been a long time since I talked to you.
I know. I saw your mom. She said you're doing good.
Yeah, we're doing all right. But, Tina, I'm glad you joined us tonight. Did you want to comment on something we said, or you wanted to throw in something yourself?
Well, you guys were talking about, you know, 2012 and, you know, everyone's take on it. And, you know, 'cause this is something I've been interested in for most of my adult life, you know. So it's something that my kids have been exposed to. And with all the recent, media attraction to 2012 with it coming up so soon here, you know, they've asked me about it because this has sort of been my thing.
Right.
And, you know, what I feel, and this is what I really believe in, is that, you know, if you put yourself in the position of these shamans or these seers, you know, several hundred, even a thousand years ago, and what they saw as the future, and look at their culture, you know, the Mayan culture. In 2012, there's a good chance that it will be at an end as what they knew of it. The rainforests are getting destroyed, their traditions are ending, the language is endangered, the people are leaving. So, you know, when you think about the end of the world, this is what I explained to them, that it was probably a really good point for them to say, hey, this is going to be the end of our world. And
right.
I think, you know, as the world in general is so different than it used to be, that it probably is an ending to the way a life was, and it's the beginning to way, you know, a new life is, for the better, for the worse. Well, that's really for something for us to decide personally, you know.
Yeah. Now, so it's just so I kind of understand, she's saying that, you know, more or less they're saying that's going to be the end of their world, the Mayans, their culture.
Yeah, because if you're to like vision yourself as a seer into the future,
mm-hmm.
and you're looking around at your world, you know, and you guys think, where is this at? This is in Central America. You know, in a really, you know, rugged part of the world, full of rainforest and et cetera. And they had this very dynamic, you know, extensive culture, very advanced.
Yeah.
Mathematics, astronomy, medicine. And then if they're to look into the future and see where they're at now, right now, and they were to look around, what would they be seeing? They'd see one of the poorest, downtrodden, poverty-stricken areas in the world.
Right.
And it would it be just, you know, logical for them to say, hey, it's the end of the world, it's the end of our culture. The people don't even live there anymore. There's just like this mass exodus of people in that whole region going anywhere because of the corruption of the government, the land's not sustaining them. And it's really a sad thing for the people themselves. So that's what I feel 2012 really represents. It's the end of that sort of era of being able to live off the land and trust cycles and things like that. It's just no longer that world anymore.
Yeah, you know, and that's a great point. I mean, you know, we've seen, you know, through history, cultures come and go. You know, their downfall due to either internal or external circumstances. It very well could be the case. You know, it does make sense. I mean, if I was part of that culture, you know, that is one of the things I'm going to look for the future of, you know, my people, my culture, what I know as my world.
Yeah, I mean, even look where we live now, you know, 50 years ago, it was still pretty rural. There's mm-hmm. a lot of agriculture. People still lived off the land.
Right.
But, you know, thinking of my nieces, you know, my nephews, they're teenagers, my own kids, if all of a sudden technology was wiped out, automobiles didn't work, and they had to live off the land, I don't think that this next generation, even my generation, would fare very well at all as far as, you know, that sort of life. So that whole agrarian culture, being able to live like that sustainably, mm-hmm. well, that is over, really, you know, for the most part.
Yeah, I you know, I have to agree. I mean, you see, you know, we have moved so much from that. And I know, Shane, you shared a video with me when I loved what that one that guy said. I wish I remember what his name was, but he was talking about, you know, just kind of being one, you know, with everything. And one of the things he said was, you know, go out and plant something, and you'll know what I'm talking about. And,
yeah.
You know, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, we've got so much away from that. And of course, you know, me and Tina and Shin used to live up in this area too. You know, we're not far from the Cherokee Reservation, where that used to be a lot of the culture. And you see that quickly disappearing from there, you know, as things become modernized. And I guess that is a question, you know, is modernization a good thing or a bad thing?
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I love Walmart as much as anybody, you know. And, you know, I could stand to probably lose some of that, you know, convenience, but that's just the way it is now, you know. You know, life runs much faster than it used to be, and little things like buying strawberries is such a convenience when you think, you know, we bought strawberries just the other day, and it's the middle of winter, one of the worst winters in the
world. Yeah.
You know, and here we are buying strawberries from Venezuela. You know?
Right. I mean, that's it. I mean, we don't have to, you know, if we want strawberries, we go to the store and buy them. We don't have to wait for the season to come around and to grow them. And, you know, even at that, are we in the right, you know, do you live in the right area which strawberries can even be grown? You know, there's a lot of factors, but I know, you know, a while back, me and Shane, I think me and you, we were talking about this, about the work that goes into each, you know, if you were to plant those strawberries yourself, how many hours of work goes into it compared to you going to Walmart and buying those strawberries?
Yeah.
And the amount of work
exactly.
is such a huge difference. It really comes down that those strawberries that you're buying at Walmart, many, 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 many more hours go into that batch of strawberries than if you was to actually grow them yourself.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, there's that whole, you know, the buy the local movement. And you know, I'm all for it. Do I support it? No. But, you know, I can see the logic in it. I should. There's that tinge of guilt every time, you know, you see organic and all that good stuff. But, you know, it doesn't stop most of us, you know. There is a saying that I used to tell my little brother this, you know, just because you know better doesn't mean you do better. and that's really, I feel like, my generation's mantra, you know. We know better. But, you know, we look around, we bite our lip, and we, you know, go to the cheap gas station and drive on to Walmart and load up at Sam's Club anyway. That's just the way it is.
It is. And, you know, for me, I guess another thing would be, you know, when you look at what you believe, do you act upon what you believe? And I think that's part of the key to it all, is really acting upon what you believe in. You know, to me, to say I believe is more than just saying, you know, I believe a ghost exists. it goes goes far deeper than that. If I say I believe in something, that means that, you know, I should live my life according to that belief. And we fall short many times.
Well, absolutely. You know what? I think I believe you, dear. There's not a lot of people that I, you know, would say that, and I kind of not. But you've actually done those things that demonstrate, hey, I'm going to take the risk. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to live my dream. I'm going to do what I feel like I need to do. So
right.
That's something that all of us have the guts to do.
Yeah, and, you know, to me, that's something that's very important, that if I do say I believe in something, then I need to act like I do. And you know, that can even go into, let me talk about religion. I said earlier, I believe in creation. So which for me means I believe in a higher power. I believe that there is a God. Now, I don't know what his name is, what he goes by, you know, what his driver's license says, or whatever the case may be. But I, you know, if I say that I believe that there is a God, that means that there are certain things that I need to act upon. There's a way that I need to be because of that belief. And, you know, that's something that, you know, I think we all struggle with is acting upon our beliefs, whether it's religion or politics or, you know, or whatever the case may be. I think that's, you know, something that we all really, really have to work on.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, it's really hard to pigeonhole any one religion as the right one.
Right.
So I think it's a customizable thing, you know. Some people really need a very rigid, strict discipline to mm-hmm. follow and to believe and to have that faith. And then there are others that, if you try to give them rules, that you'll just turn them off and they'll walk away automatically. So, you know, everything in between, it's what fits you. You know, like everyone has different musical styles, what really kind of tunes in with them. Same thing with religion.
Mm-hmm. Shane, you got something to say? Are you still there?
I was just listening.
Okay, I just want to make sure you're still there. Sometimes, you know, our phone lines just, people disappear. It happens.
I'm here. If I get cut off, I'll call you back.
Okay. And I hear some kids in the background there, Tina.
Yeah, well, the baby. She doesn't go to school yet, so I'm not that bad. The older kids are in bed.
And that's something, something else that really gets into our beliefs, you know, when we get to talk about our children, our kids, you know. You know, sometimes we're afraid to share some of our beliefs with them, you know, because we're afraid to put that belief out in the open ourselves. And, you know, I know through the show, you know, we've done the kids' take on the paranormal show here. And we got a lot of beef when we announced we were going to do it. You know, a lot of people saying, you shouldn't do this, this is crazy. Then we've done the show, and it was a lot of fun, and it got a lot of great remarks. And one of the coolest things I thought about it, that I really liked about that show is we got emails that said, you know, thanks for doing the show. It opened up a whole other door for me and my kids, you know, for things to talk about. And, you know, I thought that was one of the greatest things to hear because, you know, I think we need to share our beliefs with our children, even if we think they're crazy, because, you know, not only lets them know who we are and where we stand on certain things, but also shows them not to be afraid to talk about your beliefs and to stand up for your beliefs.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I think that's part of the openness that we need to have with our children. A lot of religions are really good about including children into what they believe in, and that's really what makes them stronger, you know, what really kind of solidifies those connections with them. And those of us that might be a little more freelance with our belief systems and our spirituality, I think mm-hmm. we really need to teach that to our kids as well, because really, you know, and I honestly believe that if I have any hope in changing the world, it's through my children. That's the only way any of us could really better the world in a lasting way, is just raise our children right so that they grow up and be good, decent people,
yeah.
And do the same for their kids.
Yeah, and, you know, I wish X-Y's throwing out some great comments in the chat room. Maybe we can talk him into calling in here in a bit. But, you know, he's saying, you know, beliefs in line with values and acting, behaving in harmony in a manner consistent with those values. Live that way and contentment will follow, or contentment follows. And I have to agree. I mean, that's exactly how I feel, that, you know, there's certain ways that we should be acting as humans. And there is a harmony that we're going to hit with that, with all things. And I think you put it a very good way.
Yeah, that was such a beautiful thing to write. And then Captain Bug changed. That was pretty funny.
gotta love Captain Bugface. he always keeps the chat room interesting, doesn't he?
It was a very enlightening comment. Later, they're gonna burn in hell.
Oh, I love the good old Captain.
Well, I better go ahead. The baby's trying to sing her song. So.
All right. Well, let her sing.
All right.
Tina. Thanks so much.
Talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
And hopefully I don't lose you in the process there, Shane. You're still there, right?
No, I'm here.
All right. Oh, that was good. Yeah, there you go. That's like, you know, we all have our own beliefs. We, you know, and you know, like we were talking about, I do think one of the biggest things is acting upon those beliefs. I think that's one of the hardest things to do, is act upon them.
Yeah.
You know, And, you know, let me put it out there, anybody else likes to want to call in, 877-876-7797. Again, that's 877-876-7797. Share with us, what do you believe? Again, you know, you're not going to be judged on here. We're just going to talk about it. We have to agree to disagree in some cases. But now we've got a few minutes before we do come up to our break, which again, we're going to play that, special song tonight. it will be the first song I think that plays on the break, so be looking forward to that. It's a lot of fun. What else can we talk about? Well, wait a minute, here we got another caller. Actually, this looks like Mr. Robert. Let's get him on the line here. Is this Robert Schneck?
This is. Hi, Jeremiah. Hi, Shane.
I think I cut Shane off.
Oh, sorry about that.
He'll call back and we'll add him back in. let me type in for him to call us back. How are you doing tonight, Robert?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing good. Kind of enjoying tonight's show. Look, there he is. Now you back with us, Shane?
Yep.
All right. Shane, we got Robert on the line. He just called in, so. So what's going on with Robert Schneck tonight?
Well, I thought I would call in and put in, give my perspective, which is a little different mm-hmm. than what we've said so far, because I don't believe in much of anything. I never have. I don't know why. It just seems to be the way I'm wired.
Mm-hmm.
I think if people were as good as dogs, the world would be a much better place.
I agree. I agree with that.
Yeah. I don't think that life has some inherent meaning. I think that a lot of what we do and say is an attempt to create a meaning,
mm-hmm.
which there's nothing wrong with that. It's just I think it's essentially something that we create ourselves, that so much of what religion does and what politics does and what science does is an attempt to take what is essentially a chaotic and meaningless universe and try to give it some kind of form and make it comprehensible to our tiny little monkey brains.
I also kind of agree with some of what you're saying myself, and that's that there is really no ultimate meaning, that to me we're here to just enjoy the life that we're given. And, you know, we're not all supposed to be out there trying to save the world or make a difference or whatever the case may be, that we really need to just enjoy it and just learn to live.
One of the things that has always struck me is the strange idea that some people seem to have that they're going to live forever, which is why they can kind of justify commuting for 4 hours a day and spending 40 years doing a job that they absolutely hate, working for somebody they despise.
All right.
And I really think that that's a very strange approach to life, considering that we, any of us, can go out like a candle and, at any moment. Mm-hmm. And since things are so uncertain and so unreliable, that we should at least try to get some pleasure out of it.
All right, yeah. Shane, how about you? You got some comments?
Oh, yeah, sorry, I just built my fire. I guess I can understand that point of view. I guess to me it's a little different. Everything just can't be summed up in a thought. I understand, like, you know, that I think that just there's much more to this world than thought, and
right.
And sometimes I'm just, there's a reason there's joy, there's a reason there's sadness, you know, there's a reason people hurt, you know, and there's a reason people are happy sometimes. And I don't think anything's wrong with any of it. It's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes any sense, but I just think it's all okay.
You know, and I think that, you know, part of believing is that sometimes, you know, it doesn't make sense to everybody. It makes sense to ourselves. And
yeah. Well, there's certain aspects of life that can't be conceptualized. I mean, that's the whole... people try to describe it. I mean, and people try to put it into words, but there's some things that are beyond words. There's some things that are beyond putting in a book, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way things work. That would be what I believe.
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, there's some things that only you can experience yourself. You know, and kind of like talking about, Robert, I've shared a lot of these stories with you about the praying menace, making it rain and then stop raining, and the birds singing on the windowsills and things like that. You know, it's hard to explain that to people because it's something you experience and something that means a lot to yourself, and you can't really transfer that to someone else.
Right. And someone may ask, is that experience real? Well, it's as real as we believe it to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I believe that experience wasn't real and I wanted to break it down into numbers and, facts, then I would completely lose the experience.
Right.
You know, the experience in and of itself was real, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just something that you have to, that has to be experienced. I guess I don't know. You know, it's something maybe beyond me being able to conceptualize to explain.
Yeah, Robert, were you going to say something?
Well, I was just going to say that part of the reason it might be difficult for people to understand it or to accept it is purely a cultural phenomenon. The fact is that in any culture that where ritual magic is practiced, any culture that accepts the power of prayer, that accepts the power of magic, and I don't mean magic in some, fairy dust Disney way of saying magic. I mean
right.
magic, ritual magic,
right.
A way of imposing human will on the external world through ritual. I mean, if anyone that can accept that would have no trouble understanding making it rain through music or through the action of will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a good point about the difference of cultures, because, you know, one of the things I believe in is that, you know, you know what you're taught, plain and simple. A lot of your beliefs are going to be from the way you were raised, from the culture that you lived in, the way that you are, the knowledge that you have, and the way that you put that knowledge to use is going to be different from culture to culture. You know, whereas some, you know, good example is what we're doing tonight. You know, just opening the lines, talking to people. Well, in our culture, well, we use the internet, we use computers to have a powwow, I guess. You know, whereas in other cultures, it's a circle around a fire, and it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some will see that that is, there's power behind it, that there's a ritual behind it. You know, it's funny, I always think, you know, what is, you know, what are people going to think about us 1,000 years from now? You know, wow, those wacky people sat with this crazy looking microphone, they called it, in front of them and talked to people all around the world. And, you know, what's going to be the difference? You know, will they be talking with each other through telepathy, you know, 1,000 years from now?
I do think that one of the things that happens is that things like ritual and magic ritual are just part of what human beings do.
Right.
They don't necessarily call it that.
Right.
In our culture, I think we do it in many different ways, but we just don't use those words. Those thoughts, those ways of looking at it are outmoded. They're not popular at this time. But I think we have plenty of ways of carrying out ritual magic. We just don't call it that. We don't think of it in those terms. We'll call it religion. We'll even call it science. Or we'll even call it the paranormal. We talked about this. I think that ghost hunting is often a form of ritual magic.
Mm-hmm.
And that the paranormal phenomena that are produced in ghost hunting are probably a result of the people taking part in it. Now, how it works and whether they can make it happen the way they want it to, that's another question. But I think that that's what it is. I think that people who are very successful in ghost hunting, get a lot of results, are most likely people that for one reason or another are able to work together well and produce these magical effects.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, that, exactly. I mean, you know, we look and, you know, we look at something like, say, an indigenous tribe of Africa where they have a ritual around a campfire for, you know, the next season or something like that. Well, okay, well, look at us. What about a wedding ceremony?
Mm-hmm.
That's the same thing. It's a ritual that we
do. A wedding ceremony. Why, for example, when, let's say, this is a terrible example, but let's say there's something like a school shooting or some children are killed. Why do we begin to pile up the flowers and the teddy bears outside right. the site where that happens? Well, I suspect that on some level we're doing it for the spirits of those dead children.
Right.
Why do we build those ritual, those little monuments by the side of the road when someone has died in a car accident or was killed by a drunk driver? We're probably honoring the spirit of those people who have died, even if we're not aware of it, because that's we human beings have thought that way for so many thousands of years that no matter what we consciously consider our motives, that there is this strong urge to do it, no matter why. But there's a basic underlying urge to do it, a basic underlying urge to believe in a spirit, to consider them as real and to consider them as active and capable of being honored and remembered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Now, I tell you what, we're going to take a break. We've been a couple minutes over what we normally do, and which I'm really kind of excited about going to this break because we are going to play a song. First time ever played. it'll be fun. And then, like I said, I think it's the first song after the first commercial, something like that. So you'll know it when you hear it. But as soon as we come back from the break, we're going to continue talking about what we believe in. Robert, you going to hang on with us a little bit longer? Or?
Yeah, sure, I can hang on for a bit.
All right, now, Shane, you're still there, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, and of course, anyone else, when we come back from the break, you want to call in and join in the conversation or talk about something you believe in, you are more than welcome to. We'll be back in just a moment.
Oh, ow, oh. This is the Mothman. Many of you are surprised to know that I am French. But no one should be surprised to know that I read Mysteries magazines. The graphics, the articles, they are magnifique. And sometimes they write about me, the Mothman. I read other magazines, but most of them, well, they end up on the blue tomb of the birdcage for my pet Thunderbird. Quiet, Sophie. I am busy right now. Ow. Oh. Oh.
For more information, visit www.mysteriesmagazine.com and subscribe today.
Arr, matey.
Captain Yoda sailed his living ship to the port where the seven sisters waited for him. Dodging through asteroids and alien ships, he began to wonder where his journey began. Captain Yoda, you've been gone. Captain Yoda, much too long. Captain Yoda had sailed for years, drunk on pain and a bottle of fears. Loneliness was the worst he had tasted, lost in this void they call outer space. Captain Yoda, you've been gone. Captain Yoda, much too long. Captain Yoda reached his final destination, and he found his loneliness was his own creation. All of these years he's lost in space, came to recognize his own true face. Captain Yoda, you've been gone. Captain Yoda, much too long. Captain Yoda, you've been gone. Captain Yoda, much too long.
Believe. That is tonight's topic. We're just kind of talking about what we believe in. It doesn't really matter. We've kind of been all over the place already. We've talked religion. We've talked culture. We've talked music. And, of course, speaking of music, you heard Captain Yoda. That's its first time it ever got any airplay. That is an original song. That's me and Shane on the guitar. I mentioned earlier that I went down there and played some music with them this past weekend, and we recorded that. And I thought it was kind of funny, Shane. A friend of ours is in the chat room, Alley Cat, who was saying she was there for the rehearsals years ago. And yes, that song was written, 8, 10 years ago, something like that.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, so we were kind of amazed that we were able to play that after not playing together for about 7 or 8 years, and even remembering all the lyrics, that was kind of difficult too.
Yeah, that was your job. So you did a great job of remembering the lyrics.
So, but a very fun song, and that's something that we're planning on doing a little bit more of. I've kind of got back into playing the guitar. And I guess we're going to, you know, try to dip into a lot of our old songs, get them recorded, get them kind of out there as we work on new songs as well. And just have fun. Make some music. You know, that's one thing. You know, we were talking about music earlier. I believe music is such a huge part of our lives that it's, it's even funny. You're walking through a store, and of course, almost any store you go into, music's playing over the speakers. And do you ever notice you find yourself walking to the beat or walking to the rhythm of the song? No matter what you do, you find yourself walking to that rhythm. Either one of you?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. But then again, I was in the Army, so they made us do it. So.
that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Rob? You ever catch yourself walking to the rhythm of the music?
Not that I was conscious of, but I do know that when I'm writing, for example, I just came from McDonald's where I was writing, I have to pop on the headphones and play some pretty intense classical music in order to concentrate properly.
Yeah, it's funny how music plays such a part in our lives. It can bring up different emotions. It can bring up joy. It can bring up sadness. It can bring up, anger. Of course, there's all the different styles of music. What's that?
Memories. It can bring up memories.
Yeah, it can definitely bring up memories. And the way we react to songs, sometimes I find kind of amazing. Now, one thing I'm definitely not proud of, but I'm a smoker. And sometimes I'll find myself, if a certain song comes on, I'll grab a cigarette.
That's a conditioned response, like Pavlov's dog.
it comes on, and next thing I know, I'm smoking a cigarette. I'm like, wait, where did that cigarette come from? But yeah, we have different reactions to songs. We have different reactions to music. But I think everything does have a rhythm, whether it's musical or not. I think everything in life seems to have a rhythm. Even if you sit outside and you listen to everything going on, and that's wherever you live, whether you live out in the country, whether you live in the middle of the city, there's always a certain rhythm to it. Nothing ever really seems off a beat. And sometimes when you do hear it maybe off a beat, it might be something bad, maybe like a car accident.
Well, that's funny you say that, because very often when people have what they think is an instinctive response that something is wrong, it's because something has changed in that ordinary beat. There is a sequence of things that occur daily, and when those things don't happen, you might not even be aware of it consciously, but you do know something is wrong.
Right. Yeah.
It's like people that come home from their people that come home from a trip, let's say, and their place was burgled while they were gone. They open the door and they know something was wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even if they don't see anything.
Yeah. Exactly. I think there's some kind of instinct that is. I don't know, built into us or whatever the case may be, that, yeah, we tend to get those feelings of things out of place, things aren't just right. I think most of us have experienced that. I want to mention someone in the chat room, they got one of those generic names, Woogie Cake or something. was making a great...
You don't think their mother named them that?
They might have, Woogie Cake. I mean, that's a nice name. I might name one of my kids that if I have another one. was making an interesting comment about music and babies, saying, have you ever noticed how babies just know how to dance? And I think that's a great point. I think, that is an amazing thing that you'll see, a one-year-old, a two-year-old, or whatever, without ever being shown what a dance is or really been introduced to music. It seems you can throw on a song and it just does something to them, that they want to move, they want to shake their butt to it or their diaper or wave some arms in the air or whatever the case may be. And I've got four kids and I've seen it four times. I think that's an amazing thing. I think it really shows something about music.
Well, Jeremiah, you grew up Pentecostal, right? Doesn't music play a big part in Pentecostal service?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think there's a, music is any church I've really been in, you know, I was raised mostly, you know, in a Pentecostal church, but been to, you know, the Baptist church, things like that. But, you know, I think maybe music, there was more music in the Pentecostal church. I don't know, Shane, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a big part of it. Like, I guess, well, we talked about sung at the beginning of the show, just maybe the whole purpose of him is that people are singing together, you know, trying to accomplish something together. And something happens when that, you know, it's a, like a common goal for everybody for that little moment, but maybe that's just the purpose of song, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and to say, you know, what it is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, very true. And, but yeah, you know, I definitely remember, you know, there was a lot of music, you know, when we did go to church services, you know, usually you opened with it. It was through the middle. You closed out with it, the whole thing. You know, but growing up Pentecostal, I think, you know, also there was a certain kind of openness, you know, within the congregation. Now basically almost really was with the same congregation, you know, even when the church moved, you know, so kind of grew up with the same people. And, you know, there was a lot of, you know, speaking of the tongue, you know, things like that, people running up and down the aisles, you know, it would get pretty intense sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and well, a lot of it, especially when we were little kids, it was like a family reunion every week. I mean, because a lot of people, I mean, like over half the church was all of our family, too.
That's true, like, too.
But I mean, like a lot of our family, not just like a couple of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was, well, I mean, and that's I mean, that, you know, in that sense, it couldn't have been wrong. I got to see my family every week, you know, and we stayed in touch. I mean, there's many purposes to that kind of thing, but that was one of the good ones, I think, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that. Yeah, it was a lot of the congregation was related. It was like a big family reunion all the time, but... But yeah, I mean, like I say, you know, music played a huge part in it, and you know, I've always been a lover of music, all kinds of music, which I guess, you know, has been expressed to the show. A lot of our breaks is my own music, taste of music, from throat singing, which somebody made a comment of the, you know, about the throat singing. But you know, you'll hear a lot of acoustic music, but then even, you know, every once in a while, I've played some harder rock and roll. You know, I think different songs can speak to us regardless of the style.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, sure.
Aztec Knight saying they always lip sync. Yeah, I guess that works too. So, oh, that's funny. But, you know, I do want to put out there, you know, if anybody wants to call in, we're still, you know, we got the lines open. We would like to hear from more people. What your beliefs are, and that number is 877-876-7797. Again, you're not going to be judged. We're not going to say you're crazy. We just want to see what everybody, you know, what everybody believes. I think that's really what this show is about when it comes down to it. With all the things that we talk about, what exactly do we believe? And I see someone saying they're not hearing me too well. Robert, are you talking about on the line here, or are you talking about over the...
Yeah.
On the line?
On the line.
Okay, I'm going to try to adjust some levels here. We'll see if we can figure it out. I'm learning new equipment here.
Okay. Also, every once in a while, I lose the audio.
Ah. Hmm. All right, well, we'll see what happens here. You know, like I said, we're trying to learn some new equipment here. But what else you guys want to get into? You know, what about politics? You know, that's something we never talk about here on the show. we always stay away from politics.
Talk about the third rail.
Yeah.
And
I try not to even think about politics. Just try to keep it out of my mind, you know.
Well, I think that's what we can talk about. You know, really, what is politics necessary? You know, do we really need all these politics? You know, I think some of it is just ridiculous. I think some of it is way too far. I think it's, you know, and I'll say it, you know, probably something I've never really talked about on the show here. But, you know, in terms of, you know, I believe that marijuana should be legal. Why should they tell us a plant should be illegal, that we can't touch, grow, or utilize that plant? I think that's ridiculous, and I think politics plays a role in that.
Well, I'm sure it does. I mean, personally, I can't understand why it's illegal except it smells so bad.
Yeah, I mean, you look at, you know, a lot of cultures, and that's part of the culture. You know, whether you want to call it hallucinogenics or a gift from God or whatever the case may be, I mean, I'm sure it's called many different things from culture to culture. But why? Who has the right, would be my question. Who has the right to say that that plant in my front yard is illegal? Basically saying it shouldn't be here. I don't understand that.
I don't. Most of the time they justify it on the basis of for the public good.
Right.
We're doing this for your own good. We're doing this so it doesn't destroy the children's lives. That must be why yours are all messed up, Jeremiah.
That's right. That's right. Well, and I can buy into that on some things about. You know, when they say, well, it's for the good of the community or whatever. But, you know, when I look at things like marijuana, you say, okay, well, how many cases of an overdose has there been? And from all that I could ever find through my years of trying to find someone who has overdosed on marijuana, I found one case. And it was actually from long-term effect of inhaling the smoke. Not the actual marijuana. Well, cigarettes are legal, and they can cause cancer, and they can kill us. The inhaling the smoke over years, but yet it's legal.
It doesn't even begin to compare to the effects of alcohol.
Right. Well, exactly.
How many people are killed every year because of drunk drivers? How many people end up with their livers destroyed, their lives destroyed? Alcohol is a terrible thing. Yet when they tried to make it illegal, when they tried to control it, we developed this enormous subculture of illegal brewing, illegal distribution that we're still suffering from the results of, because that's what created the modern organized crime syndicates. So, obviously, people want these things. They want to have their consciousness altered. And I suppose that politicians, from their perspective, they will do what they can do. If they can make marijuana illegal because not enough people are using it, they will. But if they can't make alcohol illegal because so many people do use it, they won't.
Right. And yeah, that's always been the argument, you know, the fact that alcohol is legal and you know, people, millions, you know, die from it, you know, globally every year. And
have you ever heard of somebody lighting a joint and then beating their wife?
No. I've heard of somebody lighting a joint and sitting down and saying, hey, wow, you want to eat,
right.
Well, you want some Doritos?
Right. I don't smoke. I never have. Like I said, I find the smell of the stuff utterly disgusting, but I would much rather deal with somebody who has been smoking marijuana than somebody who's had so much as two drinks.
Right.
Because alcohol really has a terrible effect on some people.
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that, because someone in the chat room even said, I would rather have a pothead babysitter than a drunk one.
Well, so would I.
You know, I mean, yeah, I mean, I've never really met anyone who has, you know, smoked a joint and then, you know, turned into someone mean, unless they were already that way, unless they already had that kind of characteristics about them of just, you know, downing people or wanting to fight. And even in some cases, if they were someone who wanted to fight, they smoked a joint, they didn't want to fight. I have honestly...
Right. It took the edge off.
Yeah, I have seen marijuana bridge gaps way more than alcohol. In high school, I'll use high school as a big example for me, because in high school, yes, I smoked a lot of pot, a lot of pot, and there were times
bushels and bushels.
Yeah. You know, and when you get in high school, obviously anybody who's in high school or has been through high school, you obviously have your cliques, you have your groups, you have your hippies, you have your headbangers, you have your rednecks, you have whatever you want to label them as or whatever the stereotype them as. But, you know, I remember that you know, all those cliques, I smoked pot with them. And I had no problems with them. And that was the bridge, you know, that you know, that's what bridged the gap, was going out and having a joint with the tough guy redneck who would normally beat the living crap out of me for who I was. And I always thought that was amazing. I thought somebody was about to say something there.
I said, who were you that they would have normally beat the crap out of you?
Well, in typical high school, I'm not like you.
Oh, all right.
You know, then that, you know, the tough guy, like I said, you know, the tough guy redneck who just wanted to beat up everybody. To be honest,
we didn't have that in New Jersey.
we do here in the mountains of western North Carolina. but no, I mean, yeah, I mean, there was, you know, it seemed that there was something that could mend those gaps. And for me in high school, it was a joint. It was a bowl. It was a water bong. And I made a lot of friends through that. And some of those friendships even continued that maybe normally I wouldn't have. You know, now I do want to say, you know, I'm not talking about going out there and smoking pot all day, every day. You know, like anything, it's in moderation. Like wine is good for you. You know, what do they say? Like a glass a day is good for you, right? You know, obviously, you know, 15 glasses a day isn't. So, you know, it's something that you have to do in moderation, something that you have to be aware of. But again, you know, I just really don't understand that of them saying, well, you know, it's a plant. You can't have it, mess with it, grow it in your yard, whether I choose to smoke it or not. I mean, it's a known fact that marijuana has, you know, medical uses behind it as well. But that's kind of hindered because it's illegal, which I don't understand at all.
Well, nicotine also has medical uses, but it gets very little research because it's considered a dangerous drug, and also because the culture has turned so much against cigarettes in the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
For example, nicotine is supposed to improve the memory. Nicotine is supposed to help people who are suffering from senile dementia and other problems like that. But again, tobacco has become bad. So even the research won't be done.
Right. Yeah, and that's a shame. You know, I really think that we should look, you know, well, let's say that I believe that there's all kinds of things that we should be looking into, because one of the things I do believe is that, you know, again, going back to, you know, that I believe in creation, I don't think we were left without. I think everything that we need, everything that we would possibly need to survive and to live a long, healthy life was already here. That's without the McDonald's. That's without the pharmacies. That's without the, you know, the over-the-counter drugs. You know, and really a lot of these over-the-counter drugs or even prescription drugs, they come from nature in some way or another.
Well, often they're often something, a natural substance that's been refined or one that they've made an artificial equivalent of. And by setting up the pharmacy, all you've really done is made it easier to have access to it, so you don't have to go out in the woods and dig roots.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Shane, you're awful quiet.
Well, I'm just listening.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, I think a lot of times we let politics, and I guess this is where the politics side of it comes in. I think a lot of times we let politics determine our beliefs, are the way we react to our beliefs. You know, some don't experience certain things because government says it's bad and says it's illegal. Not necessarily marijuana. You know, it definitely many other things. But, you know, that's, you know, like I said, I think that's where the politics does come in.
But even that, you know, will change over time. For example, they just had the big conservative convention in Washington, D.C., and what came out of it? We found out that Dick Cheney thinks it's ridiculous that homosexuals can't serve in the Army.
Right.
Now, this is the Republican Party. Dick Cheney is a red meat Republican. Yet, can you imagine anyone having said that a few years ago?
Right. Well,
so
yeah.
Things change.
And that's a good point. Things do change over time. And, you know, we look at you know, politics 50 years ago compared to now. It's you know, there's a rapid change. It's changing really, really fast. And, you know, I'm really curious as to when, you know, that younger generation starts becoming the politicians. What happens?
Well, we have a president who's in his 40s.
Right. You know,
you're older than me, I think.
Yeah, you know, I think politicians are becoming kind of younger and younger. And, you know, they're going to start bringing those beliefs into it. Or, you know, will they be bought out? That's always the question with a politician, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I am sorry. I really have trouble hearing you.
Oh. Well, hopefully it'll get a little better. Because I don't, you know, we got this new setup here. I'm trying to figure out why it would be. Because it's always worked great in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, you know, let's, any other topics you guys want to bring up? And again, I want to welcome anyone who wants to call in. You know, we got some people still hanging in the chat room. I think a few left earlier. Maybe they just didn't believe in anything. I don't know. Maybe they believe they were tired. That number is 877-876-7797. Again, 877. What was that number? 876-7797. You know, Robert, one thing I want to talk to you, to kind of get into with you is, and I think we've even talked about it on the show here, about the power of the mind itself. And I know you've been really involved in a lot of research that dealt with that, you know, I guess psychic powers, things along those lines. What is your ultimate belief about something like that?
Well, I don't have an ultimate belief. Like I said at the beginning, I really don't believe in much of anything. But I do think that the human mind is very poorly understood. And we know, for example, that the human mind is capable of affecting the body in ways that don't really seem possible. I was talking to Shane on the break about stigmata, which I'm working on right now, and this case of stigmata from California in 1972, where this girl apparently, for no reason that anyone can figure out, simply began to bleed from her palms. There is no way that should work. There is no conscious thought, no way of meditating yourself into making yourself bleed. Yet it does happen. And we don't understand the way that a mind can affect the body that it's inhabiting. Yet there's also evidence that the mind can actually reach outside of the body and affect the physical universe, affect the physical world in ways that we simply don't make sense. I've seen it myself. I mean, I have done a little bit of psychical research. I've done a little bit of parapsychology, and I have seen the mind, what I believe was the human mind affecting instruments, the human mind being aware of things that it could not possibly know. So another a person with a different perspective might say, for example, that it was spirits, but I had no reason to believe that there were spirits involved. I know that there were minds involved. Mm-hmm. So working on what we know, it seems the most reasonable explanation for what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the actual mechanics, how it worked, no idea at all. Everybody says quantum now. Well, 100 years ago, everybody said electricity.
Right.
And 100 years before that, everybody said ghosts. Well, 100 years from now, they're not going to be saying quantum. They're going to be saying something else. And as for quantum, there are probably 5 people sitting in universities around the world who even know what it means.
Yeah.
Yet it is constantly being thrown around now as the big explanation for everything paranormal.
Yeah, and
frankly,
I
doubt that.
Yeah, and I think one of those is that may know the meaning as Dr. Gary Frick, but I have no idea. Mm-hmm. He'll call in and talk about quantum. I think that is definitely one thing is that we see, you know, is a lot of recycling of theories, a lot of renaming of something to make it sound new.
Well, what a lot of it is the idea that by renaming something, that you've somehow changed it or somehow explained it, but that's just not true. Mm-hmm. Simply, we have applied new discoveries to old phenomena. Poltergeists happen. We don't know why they happen, but poltergeists do seem to happen. There's some good evidence to suggest that the minds of the people involved are responsible, though how it happens is nobody knows. Mm-hmm. But again, we will give a different popular explanation as time goes, and whatever we're saying now will seem utterly absurd in 100 years. It's the way it works. The paranormal flaps along being paranormal. They try to come up with clever new explanations for it that never work. Ever. Ever, mm-hmm. ever, ever.
Yeah.
Except maybe ball lightning.
Right. Shane, you want to add something? You're being quiet.
All right, well, I'll just listen to you guys. Yeah, I guess we're talking about the mind then. Just that it's important what we think. You know, if we believe something, it might just become real. And let's say, for instance, I read a thing, okay, or I experienced a thing where you can actually kind of think with your heart, and there's your mind as well, and you can think with your mind and experience things with your mind. But somehow there's a place where you can experience things with your heart, and it kind of goes beyond thought a little bit, and I think that maybe that's a good thing that should be valid to all of us in some way.
Yeah,
if that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. Now, and you know, for me personally, I believe the mind is a very, very powerful thing, and
and that it's only part of the equation. You know what I mean? Like, it's only part of our experience,
right?
In this place, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I believe that we could do amazing things with the mind. That talk about moving a penny across a table. I think that our mind does possess that power, that we can tap into that. You know, and I guess some of that comes down for me as you know, what I believe in, you know, that there is a oneness to everything, that everything is ultimately connected in some form or another, and that the mind has to be included in that, you know, like kind of saying part of the equation, and that we can do these amazing things with it. You know, if we want to talk with each other telepathically, I think we could do it. I believe in possibilities. I believe that anything's possible.
Well, that's where it goes back to what you believe, you know, like how important or how powerful is what you believe. If you believe nothing, then maybe nothing is possible. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
How important is the, you know, yeah. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, and you know, I'll share, you know, because I think one of the best things when you talk about stuff, you know, what you believe in and why you believe it, you know, a lot of times using, you know, examples or stories to you know, how you experience something that basically formed that belief or for you validated that belief. And, you know, I remember that I used to live in a little trailer with my wife, Shannon, and, you know, we didn't have a lot of money and, you know, the bills and, well, hold on, I'm gonna break just for a second because we've got someone calling in here. Caller from 954. What's your name and where are you from?
Hello?
Yes, hello.
I got.
What's your name?
I'm having a problem with the listen. Hold on.
All right, just turn your speakers. Yeah, turn your speakers off.
Yeah, I can't get the sound in. Okay. Here, I got it.
All right.
Yeah. Who am I talking to?
This is Jeremiah.
Carol.
Oh, hey, Carol. How are you?
In Florida. Yeah. I wanted to talk about astro travel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what Robert believes in or that, but I have astral travel all the time. And the one time I came in my body backwards, and I kept the shoes under my dresser on the side of my bed. And when I came like a whoosh back into my body, and all I could think of was the shoes are on the wrong side. So I had to go out and come back in again. Like,
You came in back in your body backwards. Wow.
Yeah. So then I had to go out and come back in again because the shoes were on the wrong side.
Right.
But yeah, I travel a lot, especially in my sleep.
Now, you know, that's something, you know, I definitely believe in astral projection, that we can leave our body. I've even experienced myself. Now, Carol, for you, how did it come about? How did you learn how to do it or realize that you had the ability?
I go with my spirit guides. I don't control it.
Mm-hmm.
I just, when they come for me, I go.
All right. You know, and that's kind of, for me, I've really only experienced it one time, and I can't say I've ever tried to do it again, and that's kind of how it happened for me. Shane was actually there the night that it happened, because I remember coming back in the living room, was like, wow, listen to this. And that's kind of how it happened. It just really happened. I didn't try to do it. It just did it itself.
Right. Well, when you do it, there's usually a lesson or a message that you are given, and whether you remember or not, you will have a deja vu. Because everything happens for a reason.
Mm-hmm. And Shane, Robert, either one of y'all have a comment? Astral projection?
Well, I don't really have a comment about astral projection, although I do think that there is good evidence that it has that it does occur, and that there are people who happen to be very good at it. There were people like Keith Harari and Ingo Swann who have been studied at Duke and places like that, and they really do seem to do astral projection or traveling clairvoyance, whatever you want to call it. The term astral projection tends to have kind of an occult quality that parapsychologists avoid because, you know, they're trying to do what they consider science.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I do think can be a problem with having a paranormal experience is the assumption that it's important. And I think that can actually be one of the most confusing things about it. I think the vast majority of things occur that are paranormal are really just nothing. I mean, they have no greater significance. They have no real importance. They just seem to occur. I'll give you a peculiar example. This happened to me 3 days ago. I was sitting here looking over at the shelf saying, I need to get some of that soft scrub to wash the bathtub. And I turned around and the bottle of soft scrub fell off the shelf and landed on the counter. Now, I don't know if that was paranormal, but it certainly was very strange, and I really doubt there was any significance to it.
Right.
Well, you may have created it just by thinking about it.
Well, that's just it, but that doesn't mean it's important. And I think what's happened, a lot of people have, I'm not saying this, I'm not applying this to your experience because I don't know anything about it. But I think what happens is a lot of people will have a paranormal experience and assume that it has some deeper significance. I have seen people literally go crazy because they've had some paranormal experiences and they've decided that they're either the new prophet of the ages or that God has created this incredibly important position for them because they've had such and such an odd experience. The fact is, weird little unexplained things seem to happen all the time, and they may just be totally unimportant.
But there is a message. I mean, it depends on the importance you want to give it to. But everything happens for a reason, so therefore I disagree with you on that point.
I don't see why assume that everything happens for a reason.
Well, see, now, for me, you know, I want to add something to this, because I've really thought about that, about, you know, do things really have a reason behind them? Is there a purpose? And for me, I'm kind of really split on it, because, you know, a lot of my beliefs and a lot of the foundation for that, you know, does come from, you know, the belief of creation, the belief of a God, and you know, teachings from many different, I don't really want to call them religious, let's call them sacred texts. And one of those, of course, is the Bible. And, you know, where, you know, I was taught that we have free will. And if we have free will, then to me, that kind of, I don't want to call it takes away or dilutes that things happen for a reason. Because to me, you know, that's kind of, you know, how can something happen for a reason, but yet you have free will? I think there is a message within those things that happen. I think that we can learn something from it, but ultimately, you know, it does come down to our free will. And again, that's my belief on it.
Well, if we have free will, but we can either choose to accept it and learn from it, mm-hmm. or we can ignore it. I mean, you know, how many people just don't pay attention in everything. You know, when my aunt, you were talking about stigmatas, and my aunt died in a nursing home, but she had plaques of Jesus and Mary on her living room wall, and when died, those plaques bled on the morning that she passed away. There were three red sticky substances under each plaque. Now, that was her mind giving a message that she was gone. That was she created the stigmata. I seriously believe that. But there was a message there. There was a reason for her message.
Shane, you want to add it on this?
Sure. Well, I mean, we all, I guess, like, say, with this case, for instance, we all have our journeys through life, you know, mm-hmm. and it's kind of up to us to discover why things happen, you know, best I can say. You know, if somebody else says something happens for a reason, well, you can believe them, or you can believe, like, it's important to believe, or you can follow your intuition, or, you know, but, I mean, that's why, and then you got the religions. There are these commandments we were given, as to, like, if your intuition tells you to go do something that's against that, well, then it's wrong, you know. I wouldn't say that's what they're for. And, but if they don't, well, you know, what happens? I guess it happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like, I mean, if you thought or felt something, well, then you thought or felt it. There's no change in it, no matter what anybody says. It would be what I hope.
I want to say that I'm an old soul, and I was raised Catholic, but if I had a spiritual experience and it went against my religion, I have to go with my heart and my own inner belief in truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
exactly.
Therefore, I will not let the religion control me. I can use the religion, the Eucharist and the Mass and all of it, but it doesn't have to control me.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All right. Yeah, go ahead, Carol, please. Well, thought you was going to say something there. Yeah, I think, I don't know, is everybody hearing everybody all right? I think we are pushing Skype's limit on this other computer that I've never ran it on before.
I'm gonna sign off, Jer, and let the professor call in.
Okay.
And I'm going to listen.
All right. Well, Carol, thank you so much for calling. You know, we love having you as part of the show.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
All right. All right. I think the Professor Slim King was wanting to call in. Or anybody else, 877-876-7797. We are going to kind of try to control the lines a little bit, because I think our Skype is having some difficulties. I'm running it on a different computer You can probably hear a little bit of what sounds like a gurgling sound every once in a while. You guys picking up on that?
Well, Jeremiah, let me know if you need the extra line, because I'm just hanging out right now.
Yeah. No, I think we're good right now. We'll see what happens. It may be phone to phone. It may be our side. I don't know. And, you know, again, this is the first time we've ran this setup, so we are going to learn a little bit through it. Here we go. We got a caller coming in, and this caller's from 386. What's your name? Where are you from?
Hello?
Hello?
This is the Slim King.
It is the Professor. Slim King. See, now we have a professor aboard, so...
Well, you don't really have to go to college to be a professor, though.
You just have to profess something.
Yeah, I'm professing that I'm the professor, so I'm ready to go. But, man, I did something incredible that I got to let everybody know about.
Yeah, well, tell us about it.
It was this, I had been messing around and listening to some guys talk about, you know, predicting future and different things like that, so I thought I'd start this project called the Divination Project, because there's a, you know, million different ways that people want to predict the future. You know, from the bumps on your head to, you know, how you look in your eyes or how they squish a tomato, all these different things. Well, this guy came up with one called the Thought Dial. His name was Sidney Omar. And he was like the astrologer to the stars back in the 50s and 60s, maybe even into the 70s. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of him?
I have.
Sure, he wrote lots of books.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody ever heard of Sidney?
I'm not.
I guess you're not hearing us too well. He used to write lots of books.
Okay, yeah, and so he had this one, the Thought Dial, and so I bought it on Amazon, and it came in, and so I said, well, you know, let's try it, you know, because I thought it was really good with, you know, for finding lost articles.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hear you guys at all, so am I just babbling on?
No, you're good. I'm just listening. Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, so to make a long story short, I got six people, and we all did this Thought Dial thing, and we all picked that the Saints were going to beat the Colts. And this was all, and I put it on the Internet, and everybody knew that we'd all, you know, were out on a limb. And then we interviewed the odds of that happening. I called a college professor, are 729-1 that six people out of six would pick an underdog, a 3-1 underdog. So that was amazing. So then we got Nat Lucas, she's a psychic, on the phone, and we interviewed her, and at the I ambushed her and said, hey, who's going to win the Super Bowl? And she gets out her little dowsing rods and says, oh, well, the Saints are going to win. Something about the kicker, there's a problem with the kicker or something in the second half. And so everybody knows that jacked the odds up to 2,187-1 mm-hmm. that would be in chance.
Professor?
Yes.
I have a
yes.
question.
This is pretty heavy.
Uh-huh.
How does the Thought Dial work?
Well, it's a kind of, you know, union in nature. It has the... it has a dial that looks kind of like a clock, and on the top is 0, and 9, 8, 7, 6 goes down to 1, and then 22 and 11. So it's kind of a numerology thing, and then you think of three numbers, you add them together, reduce them down in a numerical way, and then just look up in the book, and in the book it has a series of words, maybe 20 words, and those are your hints or your clues, and then you answer your question.
Hmm.
Also, it's a combination of a dial. Like, is that like a dial that you use when you're playing a game? You know, spin the arrow, kind of a thing.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
so you
the only
that,
reason for the dial is just to kind of help you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the dial doesn't move randomly. You just move it from number to number. I think it just helps you visualize. Is which numbers, and I think your subconscious helps you pick the numbers. I remember one of the ladies that did it said, you know, I was amazed that I didn't pick my lucky number. I felt, you know, I picked other numbers. So it was a very interesting experience, and I did a cross-section of people. I did a guy who wrote for a sports magazine who just thinks any kind of paranormal anything is a bunch of bunk. He called it goonism. And then when it came right down to betting on the Colts, he didn't bet. He said he saved, like, thousands of dollars.
Well, when you get a few lottery numbers, let me know.
Yeah.
Well, they have to come from you, but I'll be more than happy to, let you, go through this thing. I don't know how we pick lottery numbers with it, but we could try.
All right. Works for me.
If it can pick the Saints, it can pick the Powerball.
Powerball. That's what we need, the Powerball. I don't know how you could pick one number at a time, but anyway, it's a very interesting thing, and I'm going to work on some other things, but the odds of this coming through were greater than the odds that the James Randi Educational Foundation would have placed upon me to win their $1 million. So, unfortunately, they kicked me out of that program, but that didn't stop me, and it was quite amazing. This was a great experience.
Yeah, if you don't mind me asking, tell us a little more about your experience with the James Randi Foundation.
Well, I had a friend, Jim Callahan, who put a challenge to the foundation. And I go, well, why are you challenging them? Why don't you just get, their $1 million? He goes, basically they kind of cheat. They won't allow you to really, compete or do something, And I go, are you kidding me? And he goes, no. And I said, well, I'll sign up and I'll try something. I think EVPs are a good thing. People are having some good results with Frank's Box and some of those things. So I think that'd be great. So I signed up and jumped through all their hoops and spent months and months. And then finally they said, well, we can't let you proceed because we don't think that you're proceeding in good faith. And they kicked me off their forum and wouldn't let me take the challenge.
Huh. Well, that's one way to protect your
money. I'm they have a history of that.
Yeah.
So that's what happened in that situation. So, but had they, had I done this, I think that would have qualified because the last person that they did like a card trick, and the odds were only 1,000 to 1, and the odds of this going through were 2,187 to 1. And plus, it's all documented, and it's all on Magic Talk. There's a website with magicians. I had one of the guys was a magician, so we put it on there, and also on Magic Cafe. So
Did they say you weren't doing it in good faith because you were a magician, not claiming to be a psychic?
I think I said. Their challenge is also includes psychic events, paranormal events. So a paranormal event, by the definition of paranormal, is not scientifically explainable. And so I think if you got an EVP that answered a question, that scientist couldn't explain that. And but I think, yes, they thought that, since I was a mentalist, and that they wouldn't allow me to try to prove that something paranormal could happen. And so they said, you're not operating in good faith, although they're the guys who said, you need to sign up.
Right.
So. Right, yeah. Now, Professor, why we got you on here, do you want to share anything about what you believe?
What I believe in?
Yeah, what do you believe?
Oh, boy, that's a tough question. I believe that there is a creator, mm-hmm. and that this is the creation, and we all live in it, and that we do have hints, and we do have a destiny. I believe there's a destiny, and so and I think that maybe that destiny was planned out before, so that we're predestined. Mm-hmm. We have free will, and we get to do what we think we want to do. But in the end, it all works out the way it was destined to work out. It's kind of like water in a river. The molecules can bounce around and do what they want, but they're always going to end up in the ocean eventually. Mm-hmm. So that's what I think.
Now, by the way, Robert's not on the line with us. We lost him. I think our Skype's been acting a little funny. But, you know, having a destiny, you know, definitely a lot of people believe in that, and that, you know, there is a purpose for each and every one of us. There is a destiny, you know, that we'll reach at some point in time.
Yep, that's what I believe in. I believe in rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
rock and roll. And, you know, I think a good glass of rum doesn't hurt. And, you know, it's time to have a good time. And I think there are supernatural things. There are paranormal things, things that science can't explain, happening all the time. And people just take them for granted.
Can I add something in? I'll tell you what, if we could explain everything, that would definitely take the fun out of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think it would. And I think that, you know, I guess some of the question is, you know, will we ever understand all of this? I don't think we will. I think as we discover new things or we come to understand some things, it actually opens up questions.
Yeah.
More questions from that point.
Yeah. Some things maybe aren't meant to be understood, you know, some things are greater than thought. I mean, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, yeah, I think we're limited. We might be limited that we can actually perceive as a human. I think we're just, you know, we're really, really ignorant of all the things that are going on around us. So, you know, just the mere concept of existence kind of boggles my mind.
Right.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
Yeah.
If I can't even explain how I exist, then how am I going to figure out everything else?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and I think that's probably the ultimate question, our existence, why exactly do we exist? Why are we here? You know, is there a purpose? Is there a meaning? It's something to think about all the time. It's mind-boggling to look out your window and see that tree and wonder, wow, you know, the thing exists. It's right there in front of me.
Yeah. I believe there's
somehow we're all connected.
Right.
But
yeah, I believe there's so many things to know that, like, there's a complete world of wonder out there. I mean, and wonder is a good thing, you know, like, it keep you alive, like, inside. Just the amazement of how things work and how things happen. And that when we quit, like, searching for that wonder, I mean, it can get boring, but it shouldn't be, because there's so many things that are just beautiful and phenomenal, you know, and beyond explanation. And even the simplest things, I mean, you can just delve into them, and they can be these great, awesome things, like a praying mantis on the end of a guitar. It can be you can, like, break it down and try to figure it out, or you can just be like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
exactly.
Well, you know, I believe that some of the simplest things are actually some of the most complex. And, I really believe that there are, that some things are so simple that we overlook them.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Yeah. And those might be the
best. Why does a bird, you know, certain birds, they fly south.
Right.
You know, how did they know to fly south? How do they know south, which way that is?
Right.
You know,
or how do they fly?
How do they know they're going to freeze?
Right.
Yeah. Or have you ever watched the birds and watched them, like, fly in perfect unison sometimes? You know, and that.
Yeah.
We've got jet fighters that can't even do that.
Right. Or a school of, if you see a school of fish swimming, and you see that, and then somebody, or something comes in, they all seem to move exactly at the same time, in the same way.
How come? Yeah, how connected are they? You know, they're like one little
thing. Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing. I mean, I catch myself almost every day looking out the window and just thinking of how amazing everything is. You know, and too, you know, like I said, having my mind boggled by some of the simplicity of it, too.
Yes. Jeremiah, I'm going to drop out here, so I'll let someone else call in or get back. So thanks for letting me call in and share the thing about the thought dial.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And I'm going to try it every Super Bowl from now on. Odds are that it won't, if it was only probability, it won't do this again till 4,726.
Well,
so I don't know what Super Bowl that'll be, but it'll be a long time. Talk to you guys later.
All right, thanks, Professor.
Good night.
All right, later. The Professor Slim King, always one of our favorites here. Gotta love the prayer. Always enthusiastic. But yeah, you know, we're kind of talking there a little bit, and I don't know, you know, we'll kind of wrap the show up here in a few minutes. We're not going to go over too far. You know, I guess you kind of get into this stuff and you kind of talk about it. Yeah, you lose track of time. You know, I do believe that some things are so simple that it just passes right by us. That we don't pay attention. We don't take the time to pay attention. That we're so tied up in the 9-to-5, the paying the bills, the getting the kids to soccer practice, to whatever the case may be for each and every one of us.
Yeah.
It's something else.
I think there's a good chance those are the best things, huh?
Yeah. So, well, I tell you, I mean, you know, we could probably go ahead and start closing out the show here. And Shane, thanks so much for co-hosting with me tonight.
Well, thanks for having me.
And of course, thanks to everybody who tuned in and to those who called in. I think one of our most successful open line shows. you know, we seem to tank on those, but that's cool. We still do them. You know, it's. You know, it's a blast. You know, I do want to say, I do miss doing the show twice a week. It's been a month since we've done a show, but that's kind of what we're doing right now, just trying to get everything back in place. It's tough times for everybody. That's the truth of it. You know, I think most everybody's, you know, really felt the change in times, and, you know, we just want to stay on track. We want to keep things going. And, you know, for this, you know, I'll say kind of one of the last things, you know, I believe that what we do, Shadows in the Dark, Mysteries Magazine, is a good thing in this world. And that's why I don't want to see it go away. That's why, you know, we try to do, you know, everything that we can to continue it. You know, we see the responses from everybody we get, and it amazes me. It really, really does. And as we see the network grow, as we see the friendships that we make and whatnot, you know, I think it's a great thing. And, you know, it seems that the show and the magazine means something to many people out there. You know, those in the chat room, you know, it's been a month. You know, I'll be honest, I worry, you know, when we have such a long time between shows, I worry that we'll turn the mic on and nobody's going to tune in or something along those lines. But, you know, there they are. There everyone is in the chat room hanging out. It's like we didn't ever miss a beat. And I think that's just one of the coolest things. I really, really do. And, but I tell you what, we're gonna jump off here. We're going to let everybody hit the bed, but Shane, you got any last things to say? Anything?
Big thanks to Robert for like helping us pass the time and giving us his input, you know?
Always love Robert. Robert's got some great insight, and that's, you know, I think it was one of the great things that we had this show and you know, we were able to express all these different beliefs and nobody got mad at each other. We welcomed those beliefs and we talked about them. And I just think that's one of the coolest things. I really, really do. And, you know, I tell you, I'm looking forward to more of this. I'm looking forward to just getting involved and as much as I can. You know, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, and I really, really do miss it. But, you know, believe. That's something everyone should do. Believe in what you believe in. And when I say that, I really mean, you know, act upon it. If you believe in something, stand up for it. Don't hesitate to say you believe in it. Don't hesitate to be ashamed of what you believe in. Yeah, people are going to think you're crazy. People are going to hate you for it. People are going to, you know, talk bad about you. But you know what? That seems to just be par for the course. you know, if you believe in it and you stand up for it, all of that is not going to matter. And I think we all know, you know, well, before we leave, let's get into one more thing. And I think this is one of those things that a lot of people really think about and either struggle with or whatever, and that's good and evil. Shane, do you believe that there is good and that there is evil?
All you can do is watch the news. It seems pretty obvious to me.
Mm-hmm. And see, I'm one that, yeah, I believe there is good and I believe there is evil. And I believe that there is a ongoing battle between the two. And I think that inside of us, we truly know what is good. And we know that when we do something, if that was, now I don't want to necessarily call it evil, but we know that wasn't a good thing, that there was something we shouldn't have done. Either it could be the way we treated somebody, it could be the way something we said to somebody, it could be just what we'd done for that day. And I think we know those things, and you know that over time we'll come to realize that, you know, within ourselves as a whole, you know, as a global thing, I guess. But yeah, I agree. You know, you watch the news, and I think for me that's a lot of where, you know, we were kind of mentioning earlier about free will. And, you know, I believe, yes, we were granted free will. And for me to say, okay, we have that free will, but that person who walks into a school and guns down 15 students and kills them and 5 teachers, yeah, I do have a problem to say that happened for a reason. I do.
Yeah, but,
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that creates a lot of pain for the people that are left behind,
right.
You know, it's bad to create pain in other people. I mean, that's just not love, you know.
It's not, and you know, even though I, you know, like I said, for me, I really find it hard to believe that that does happen for a reason, that there was a purpose behind it. Now, I do believe that we can learn from it, that there is something to look at it and say, okay, you know, but for me, that's where the free will comes in, that particular person utilized their free will to go in and take someone's life. And you know, but again, that's you know, that's what I believe, and we all have our beliefs, and we do need to stand up for them, but respect others' beliefs. We're, you know, this is a huge world. What's the population?
Who knows?
6.5, something like that. 6.5 billion and growing quickly. I mean, think about that. 6.5 billion people, all with their own beliefs and their own thought process. We're gonna have clashes. We're going to disagree with one another, but I think there has to be a level of respect to say, okay, well, that's what you believe and this is what I believe. Doesn't mean we can't coexist, doesn't mean we can't be friends, you know, doesn't mean we can't sit down and have a beer together, you know, whatever the case may be. But, you know, that was kind of what I wanted to really get into tonight, because I think that is, you know, it's what we talk a lot about here on the show is beliefs, people's beliefs. We interview all kinds of people who believe many, many different things. And I wanted to just open it up to everybody and say, hey, I believe this is what I believe in, and I'm going to stand up for it. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in. And I really want to, you know, also our archive listeners, hey, you want to shoot us an email about what you believe? We'll read it on air. I'm perfectly fine with that. Just get in touch with us through the website. And, of course, we're going to let everybody go to bed. So thank you so much. And, again, Shane, thanks so much for co-hosting. It was a blast.
Yeah, thank you.
And we got to get ready to throw down another song. So we hope, hopefully everybody liked Captain Yoda.
I'm ready.
So I wish I just had it by itself. We'd play. We would exit out with Captain Yoda. But, hey, we're going to exit out with our intro. Well, again, thanks, everybody. We are going to be broadcasting this Thursday, so we do have two shows back-to-back, kind of like the old times. But we're going to have Linda Zimmerman on, and we're going to be talking about ghost hunting and paranormal investigations. So make sure to tune into that. That's 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time this Thursday, so we will see everybody then. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in. This has been Shadows in the Dark, where the darkness is illuminated. Good night, everyone.
Shadows in the dark.